Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
And hello there. I am Carol the Coach, a.k.a. Carol Jurgensen Sheets, and I am so glad to be with you tonight. You know, this is the only show right now on iTunes that focuses on sexual addiction, whether that be for the sex addict or the partner of a sex addict. And tonight we're going to be talking about the pain of betrayal. Now, if you're a sex addict, I want you to hear it, because truly one of the opportunities for you is to really get in touch with how you may have traumatized your partner. Now, as you understand that, I don't necessarily want you to feel shame. I want you to feel empowered to actually work with your partner to reassure him or her at any expense. That being said, clearly, you've heard me say it before, sex addicts carry the shame while partners carry the pain. And I was thinking today about how I've been talking with a sex addict who said, yeah, in our 12-step program, we learn that as sex addicts, if you're working a strong recovery program and you're doing really, really well, the partner may not feel the same way. He or she may really feel the pain and the trauma, which then puts them in a hypervigilant state. So while the addict is really working on what they need to do to get healthy, the partner is not only trying to do, let's just say, her work, as opposed to his or her, let's keep it simple, her work, and she kind of does the work of the addict, because she's assessing whether she can trust the addict or not. So tonight we have an expert in the field of complex partner trauma, and her name is Hope Ray, and she's going to be talking about what she's learned, how she's applied this, and what she does in her work with partners and sex addicts. Can't wait to talk to her about that. And you know, this show is an opportunity to learn more about what's out there for you. That way you can check out websites, you can check out bibliographies, you can check out bibliotherapy, and you can find out, hey, who really works with this issue? And if you're like me, clearly what happens is, so often I'm working with whoever has notified me first. Many times that's actually a partner. And if I start working with the partner, what happens is she usually wants me to work with the addict, her partner. And if there were more CSATs in Indianapolis, which is where I'm based out of, I'd be referring them out. I'd be seeing one person. Somebody else would be seeing somebody else. You know, if I'm seeing the partner, then I'd be sending the addict to another CSAT. And then another CSAT would be doing the couples therapy. However, in Indianapolis, right now, and I hope and pray this changes, we've got no other CSAT. So sometimes that ends up being that I see them all. And so, you know, clearly what I want to be doing is keeping my boundaries straight and helping each and every one of them work a recovery program and work with each other to get healthy. You know, you've got to feel comfortable with couples therapy anyway. And then having expertise with sexual addiction really, really makes a difference. So again, I so welcome Hope Ray, who's an expert in the field of treating partners. And she uses a model called complex partner trauma that helps partners work through the pain of betrayal. So I'm really excited to be doing that. So this is Carol the Coach, and tell me a little bit about why you called. Would this be Hope Ray?
Oh, this is Hope. Hello, Carol.
Hope, welcome to the show, and I'm so pleased that you are working with us tonight because, you know, sex addicts have a formulaic recovery program that they can follow, and I always tell them, hey, if you're a sex addict and you do 8 out of these 10 things, more than likely you're going to maintain good recovery and you're going to get healthy. And yet the partners don't always have that same opportunity. And so you've been working with a model called the complex partner trauma. And I was wondering, you know, I had certainly saw your response on our listserv, and I said, this is a woman who knows what she's talking about. She's a licensed professional counselor. She's a CSAT, a certified sexual addiction therapist, and she's worked with some of the best people on the planet. So tell me a little bit about what is complex partner trauma.
Well, thanks, Carol. I'm so happy to be with you tonight. Complex partner trauma is a model that I developed where I saw a real need to help partners organize their experience as partners who have faced infidelity and betrayal, primarily from sex addiction. And as you were referencing earlier, sex addiction becomes a really difficult thing for a partner to sort through because there are often a lot of lies or attempts to conceal the sexual betrayals or the behaviors that the addict is not wanting to hurt the partner with. And so complex partner trauma really stratifies the reactions of a partner to help her or him organize what it is that they're experiencing. And so I can begin to share with you what the layers of complex partner trauma are. Would you like me to do that?
I would love that.
Okay. Well, I have plenty of graphics available that help me depict this particular model. But if you could just picture with me an onion. And onions have various layers, of course, and the core of the onion being the first part of it, the core of it, and then, you know, surrounding layers develop over time. And so with complex partner trauma, there are 5 layers that I walk partners through, the core of which is the betrayal. What happened? You know, this is where he or she, the partner, will find out that their spouse or their significant other has betrayed them in some way. A lot of times we call this discovery or D-Day, which I think is a great term for it. And so when a partner discovers that they have been betrayed sexually here, that would be enough to recover from. But the hard part for partners who are partnered with sex addicts is that oftentimes those sexual betrayals are covered in lies and different types of deceitful behaviors in order to conceal what was going on. And so this creates a second layer for the partner, and that's the layer of reality collapse where, you know, they learn that their whole marriage maybe or a very long part of their marriage was was not as they thought. And so they've been betrayed. That's the core. The second layer is the reality collapses when they discover the behaviors or they're told about the behaviors, and now they aren't sure who they can trust anymore. And so out of that, then a third layer develops, and that's called the relationship disrepair layer. This is where as a partner who's maybe, let's say, a female partner who's a wife and also a mom, and maybe she is a boss or a colleague or an employee, this is where all these other relationships become somewhat distorted, and they really take a toll. So starting back from the beginning, we've got the core of the betrayal, which would be enough to recover from, and then another layer of who can I trust anymore, the reality collapse. But then thirdly, it all kind of culminates into this relationship disrepair mode where as a mom, I'm not functioning at the level I once was because of this new stress I've encountered. As an employee, I'm not as productive at work as I used to be. As a wife, I'm not sure what I'm going to do about all this betrayal. And so my relationships get off kilter. But that's not even it, because what we know is as partners facing these difficult situations, there's a lot of times in which they aren't sure who to tell. And so there's another aspect to this relationship disrepair where the partner isn't sure who she or he should tell. And if they have told some folks, then those folks might make their own assessments about the situation and put pressure on the partner either to leave or in some religious circles, we find there's a tremendous pressure for them to stay and forgive. And so their relationships become dysfunctional in a lot of ways. So that's the third layer of complex partner trauma, but that's not it. There's still two more. The fourth layer is the fact that, you know, after all of this, there's really an altered life state that a partner ends up finding him or herself in. And that altered life state is where, you know, I've had partners tell me, you know, I'm driving and I don't even remember where I'm going. Or I'm at the grocery store and I can't even remember what I need, or I left my list at home and I'm just living in the midst of so much stress or so much confusion about what's going on in my life that ultimately I'm not living at my potential. I'm finding myself living below my potential. And so living in an altered life state is a really difficult thing for a partner to sort through, but that's still not it. With complex partner trauma, there's yet a fifth layer, and that is the layer of self-betrayal. So, you know, starting from the beginning, when a partner's been betrayed, and on top of that there's been lies, so they have a difficult time understanding who they can trust, and now the third layer, some of their relationships are off kilter, and fourthly, they're living in an altered life state, this fifth layer of self-betrayal can really envelop a partner where he or she now begins to cope from all of that pain. And so what we find is that a lot of times partners will do big or small things in order to cope that really end up compounding the trauma underneath and not assisting them in healing. You know, this is where partners will pick up bad habits again or old habits, or addictions may resurface, like smoking, or, you know, sometimes partners will spend a lot of time trying to track the addict with where he or she has been, or phone records, or different, you know, looking up emails or trying to hack into accounts. And sometimes partners will be up very late into the night doing these activities and find themselves exhausted the next day and maybe displacing some of their anger on the children, or not getting into work on time, or having to call in. And these are very small and understandable things that a partner would be doing, but ultimately can really steal life away from the partner and cause her to live below her potential and really be dancing with the addiction instead of finding ways in which she can heal. And that's the real point of complex partner trauma. We have to heal from these layers, and there is a way to heal.
Well, that is so important, because you're right. These people have so much trouble figuring out what is reality, and it's almost as if they've been betrayed so badly that they can't believe things, even if they're better. You know, so many of my addicts are doing better, but the partners can't trust that, because if they do and they get betrayed again, it feels like a double betrayal. And that certainly fits in your five layers of the onion theory, in that clearly they don't trust themselves. They don't trust their partners. They can't trust some of the supports that they normally would because they don't want the supports to judge them or their partner. It gets really, as you call it, complex. So tell me a little bit about how you work with partners who are this hypervigilant that's just, you know, are up all night trying to figure out, investigate, explore what's going on so that they can feel safe.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is that when a partner comes to me, you know, we really want to talk about her betrayal story, his or her betrayal story. And I've heard some very, very sad stories, but that doesn't mean healing isn't possible, no matter how the relationship goes. And so one of the first things that I do when a partner comes to see me is I take a look at what happened. And as we go through the story, we can identify ways in which the partner might be having a difficult time, and so we target those things first. The way that I look at it is if this is like a layered onion, we've got to peel it back one layer at a time. And so I really focus on, you know, three parts of therapy. The first part is the betrayal story. You know, this is why partners come to me. They want help to heal from the betrayal story. But the next part is that, you know, everyone has some difficulties in their history. They have some traumas and other life events that would color the way in which a partner is experiencing his or her betrayal story. And then the third thing is that if a partner has any sort of psychological issues, any anxiety or depression or other types of diagnoses, we would want to incorporate those into the treatment as well. But really, it's a matter of taking a look at how can we peel back these layers. So if a partner comes to me, and let's just say it's a female, and she says, you know, I feel like the rug has been pulled out from under me. I've never been under so much stress. This is worse than when I lost both of my parents in the same year. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should stay in this relationship. You know, I'm finding myself yelling at my children. I'm finding myself not living like I used to. And I would have her do a little inventory of the things that are within her control at that time. This is about peeling back that self-betrayal and just allowing her to not have to compound any of the mess that's already been handed to her, right? So what we would do is we would do some visioning techniques. We would take a look at what can we do to help you stabilize a bit right now. And if she feels that, you know, she's maybe telling too many people about this, we would make a plan for how can we use discernment to kind of keep this within your support system that gets it and knows you and understands and can offer you the right support. And after we get some of that stuff taken care of, then we really look at, you know, how is your life, your feeling like it's altered? How are you living in a state of functioning that is below the potential that you have? And so we'll start looking at how we can kind of reclaim the way in which this person has been living before the rug was pulled out from under her. And after that, we look at stabilizing some of the roles, you know, as a mom, as a wife, as a colleague, or whatever that person may find him or herself in. We take a look at how can we stabilize some of that, and then we get down to, you know, transferring that trust back to the self, transferring that trust back to God, transferring that trust maybe back to the person who wounded them, or the general population of men or women, whoever it is that feels untrustworthy at the time. Ultimately, you know, all of these tasks lead to helping to heal the betrayal. This stuff takes a while, and truthfully, when a partner comes to me, we are not talking about all the things she should do. Most of the time, I'm just sitting and listening and helping her organize her story, helping her understand her pain, helping her understand that this is a very difficult betrayal, and just allowing her or him to feel as if they have a safe place to talk.
That makes sense, because I always say, especially with partners, you need safety and connection and trust. And so you're asking that person to look at the reality of their situation and say, well, who do you feel safe with? Who can you connect with? And who can you trust? And so, you know, obviously when a when a client who's a partner doesn't feel like she has anybody in her own personal experience to trust, that may be when they need to join Essanon or COSA or somebody who's had similar experiences that they can trust and won't judge.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So tell me a little bit about the complex partner trauma in that. Where did you first hear about it, and how did it come to be?
Well, sex addiction is still something that in our society not everybody is on board with. But if you spent just a couple hours, I think, in my office or in your office, there would be a lot more understanding of the way in which this can be an addiction. Sex, pornography, these types of issues can invade marriages and crumble them to the ground. Not just marriages, but long-term relationships and sometimes relationships with family members. So, you know, the development of this model came from really wanting to help partners structure what it is that they're going through. A lot of times, partners feel as if they are alone and that they couldn't tell anybody about this. And the truth is there's a lot of embarrassment that goes with this problem. But I wanted to normalize the experience of a partner. And the experience of complex partner trauma really is hinged on the idea that when an infidelity occurs and it goes on being lied about for some time, that's what unfolds the whole onion for the partner. It's not just the core of the betrayal. It's not just the sex or the pornography or the cheating. It's the lies that were used to conceal that. And over time, how when a partner comes to discover this is his or her story, they feel as if they've been so betrayed. And they have. And so we needed to really organize that experience and talk about how it causes the reality to collapse and how it offshoots into relationships, making them more complicated and causes just regular daily life tasks to be much more difficult and then ultimately can lead to some big or small betrayal behaviors of the self.
That makes sense. So did you create this model or did you learn and study this model?
I did. I created the complex partner trauma model, and I've been fortunate to have excellent training with other amazing specialists in our field. I work with Dr. Ken Adams and have for the past few years. He's been an amazing mentor to me when it comes to how do we treat sex addiction and what do partners need. I've also been able to complete the training for the APSATS program, which is spearheaded by Dr. Barbara Steffens, one of the authors of Your Sexually Addicted Spouse, and a dear colleague who is doing amazing work in the field for partners, and worked with lots of people who are concerned about helping partners get some tools in their tool belt to be able to assess whether or not the addict in their life is on a healthy and stable recovery path so that the partner can understand if he or she is safe. But, you know, I find that I run into some trouble once in a while helping partners heal, and I think that's due to the idea that a lot of partners want to sit back and relax and kind of let the addict sort it through and restore the relationship once the addict gets healthy. But what I've found is that partners really do need to take an active approach in their healing because they've been very wounded. Sexual betrayal is an absolutely difficult thing to sort through. It is not your typical betrayal because it involves, the interruption of a commitment where fidelity was agreed upon. And so I find that partners kind of ask three questions, and I want to share those with you, Carol. I think
Let's hear them.
The first question I think partners ask is, can I tolerate living like this any longer? This is when they find out there's been some sort of sex betrayal, and so, you know, they're wounded and hurting, and they're saying, oh, my gosh, how much more to the story is there? Can I live like this any longer? I feel like my whole world's been turned upside down. And when a partner answers to this no, then she moves on to another question, and that is there hope that this sex addiction can get any better? And I find that here some partners actually say no, And you know what, at that point they may choose to leave the relationship. But then there are some partners who say, you know what, I think there's a chance that this sex addiction can get better. So they ask a third question, and that is, well, what needs to happen in order for things to get better? And this is where I think some of the partners would like to see their addict in treatment and watch the addict really grow and recover, and that certainly can help a partner feel safe once again. But the truth is that, you know, a partner really needs to say, I need to heal. That's what needs to happen. Regardless of where this relationship goes, I've been lied to and betrayed, and I have to heal. And it's then that I find partners are really engaged in the process of understanding their story and kind of organizing and collecting all the pieces of betrayal here so that they can really find themselves having a new narrative with a lot of reclaiming of their self, learning to trust themselves again and get back to a place in life that they originally wanted to be.
That makes so much sense. And clearly, when you meet that client that just doesn't feel like, what, for the sake of simplicity, she can trust her partner again, then do you help her transition out of a marriage?
You know, I'm very careful to not sort through a partner's ambivalence for him or her. A lot of times that's a really normal part of the process for a partner. Should I stay or should I go? And the truth is that I'm not the expert on whether or not they should stay or they should go, but I am an expert in sex addiction, and I can help that partner develop a pair of eyes to see and to observe healthy demonstrations of recovery so that they can know if their addict is in a healthy recovery or not. And of course, you know, they have to learn, the partner has to learn to trust herself again. And also over time, with healthy demonstrations of recovery, that trust can get transferred back to the person who wounded them. But I'm very careful to not, unless a partner may be in physical or grave danger, I'm very careful not to, you know, explain to them my opinions on whether they should stay or go.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense, because my experience is they do the dance of both. One minute they're saying, I need to get out of this, I can't tolerate it, it's too painful. And then the next minute they're like, I want to stay, I want to make it work, I don't want to lose my family, I don't want to lose my finances, whatever. And so they're really having a hard time. And as a therapist, we have a lot of influence, and so you don't want to influence them. You want it to be totally their decision.
Because you know what? They're the ones who have to live with it. And so I talk a lot about resolve with my clients who are really ready to leave the relationship. We really have them identify if they have resolve on that issue, and then I ask them about whether or not they want to let that resolve linger a bit so that they can really be sure and explore all of their feelings before they pull the trigger on leaving. A lot of partners have children or even assets or a public reputation or something that's tied to the addict, and so a huge disruption in their regular life can happen when that split happens. And so while we don't want partners to avoid taking care of themselves in order to accommodate those exterior things, they do need to be taken into account because, you know what, divorce causes a whole new crisis. And so it's really important to allow partners to experience their ambivalence. You know, you bring up a good point, too, because I think about how often I hear this. You may hear this a lot as well from partners, that people in their life, in their natural support system, whom they've told about the betrayal, oftentimes want the partner to get out. And the truth is that, you know, unless you're in that situation, it's really not someone else's place to tell you what to do. However, I would say that for a lot of partners, there are strong voices within their support system that are urging them to get out. And so sometimes I see partners shutting down from their supports, from their friends or certain family members, because they feel that they don't get it. And so I want to just share, if I could, for any listeners who might know someone in this situation, or for any partners who feel as if their support system is really urging them to leave. You know, I hear this all the time, that partners say to me, my goodness, if any one of my friends told me they were in this situation, I would have told them to get out. But here I am now in this situation, and there are so many other things to consider. It's a very complex situation. And so we just have to help them sort through that ambivalence as best as we can, and it really can take some time.
Well, and what I hear you saying is you give them permission to really be sure. And let's face it, that is what is very difficult for a partner to know. So it sounds like as long as they've got that ambivalence, they have some more work to do. And, you know, so many partners can feel resentful about that. They say, you know, I didn't sign up for this kind of pain and this kind of anguish and these kind of decisions. And that's when I say, especially based on Patrick Carnes, you know, I had him on the show about a month ago, and he said the true recovery means that you really look at the suffering that you're experiencing and you say, you know, how has this grown me stronger and what can I do with this strength? And so I always encourage clients not to feel like a victim, but to ask themselves, okay, now how are you going stronger, and what can you do with it? So your complex model actually helps partners heal from all the trauma, all the suffering that they're experiencing. Now, you talk about an impact letter, and an impact letter is part of your model. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I did not come up with the idea of an impact letter. That's been around for a long time. For anybody who feels as if they have been hurt or betrayed or the victim of something, impact letters have been a long-standing way in which a person can really write down their story and communicate their feelings to the person who wounded them. And not always does somebody give that letter to the person who wounded them, but it's a place for them to collect and gather their thoughts. And so what I've done in the book I'm working on is really amping up the impact letter, allowing it to be what's instead of just a letter of thoughts and feelings, it's really a therapeutic process for a partner to go through where he or she identifies all of the impacts that have been caused to him or her sexually, emotionally, cognitively, spiritually, and physically. And it allows them through various worksheets and exercises and group work to be able to really collect all the parts of their story. And what we know is that, you know, there's plenty of research out there. The more that people can journal, the more that people can write down their story and clarify for themselves what they've been through, the stronger they feel about their narrative. And you know what? When our story feels bigger than us, we feel so disorganized, we feel entrapped by the story, we feel helpless that we can't get out of it. But the more and more that the partners I'm working with are organizing their stories, what we're finding is that they are rising above the storyline. They're transcending what has happened. And like you said, spending that time healing and introspecting in order to be able to have freedom once again in their hearts and in their trusters, and they're just really identifying what their story is and empowering themselves in doing that. So the impact letter
that's
is
interesting because obviously we're talking about the impact letter and how that can actually help. And you said you did not design that letter. That's been around for a long time. But your upcoming book, The Impact Zone, you're hoping to release and be published by when?
That is hopefully going to be done by the end of summer. And so we're working hard on that. And it's actually a curriculum I've been running at our office, Kenneth M. Adams and Associates, for a couple years now. But because of its success, we really wanted to get it published so more people can use it and more partners can go through that experience.
That's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about this upcoming book. You know, I know partners are hungry for material that will help them to heal.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'm really excited about the Impact Zone. What I'm doing with that book is really outlining through using worksheets and journal spaces and some psychoeducational material on complex partner trauma and sex addiction. I'm helping partners organize their stories by going through the worksheets, assessing everything from what are all the triggers that I now experience to how have I had some hunches about this maybe in the past, or some partners never did have hunches, and that's okay, but the idea of reestablishing your inner trust is a part of this particular work. I have partners really examine all the five zones of impact, again, cognitive, emotional, physical, sexual, and spiritual impacts of the addiction and the lies. And I have them write what's called impact statements, where they talk about their feelings and all the changes that have taken place for them as a result of discovering this has gone on in their relationship. We also look at their longings for the relationship, if they do long for it to be, you know, reestablished, then we take a look at their longings. They take a look at boundaries and also their needs going forward in the relationship. They're examining in serious depth a lot of the pieces here that maybe wouldn't get captured when somebody just sits down to write, you know, how they feel about the sex addiction. So the way that I run it is in a 10 or 12 week group with several partners. I have them look at all these different pieces together, and they go through the worksheets, and that's what the book will be. All the worksheets and all the material put into one book so anyone can do it.
That is fantastic. So it's not only an informational book, but there are worksheets and there are exercises. There are things, active things that a partner can do.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so now how can people stay in touch and find out about this book and find out about you? I know that you have a website, and I don't know if you're going to list when this book comes out, but certainly they can go to www.opraytherapy.com. Or is this also a website, the www.sexhealth-addiction.com?
Yeah, that's the website where I practice at Kenneth M. Adams & Associates. We're based out of Royal Oak, Michigan, but we do intensives where we bring people in from all over different states. We've had people come in from out of country for our intensives, and so that website is, that's Kenneth M. Adams & Associates. The website is www.sexualhealth-addiction.com. And then my personal website, which currently is under construction, is hoperaytherapy.com. And so my hope is folks will visit the website even tonight and save it in their toolbar so that they can check it out next week when we relaunch. We'll have lots of videos and interactive materials up there. They'll be able to find information about my upcoming books and also some other information that serves as resources for partners.
Now, can you tell me what made you decide to go into the work of helping and assisting partners to heal?
Well, I think the work found me. I have some of my own experience as a partner, but also I was a therapist working at a community mental health facility and had an opportunity to lead a group at a small private practice where there were just several women who needed some hope for this sex addiction stuff they were dealing with in their marriages. And so I quick put together a little curriculum. I wasn't sex addiction trained at that point, but I had some of my own experience, and I was certainly a counselor at that point. So I did my best. And from that, I was able to connect with Dr. Ken Adams, who invited me to his practice. And so together, he and I now have developed Michigan's first really comprehensive partner treatment program at our office. And we are working with dozens and dozens of partners, whether it's intensive weekends or throughout the week individually or in groups. And so I guess I would say that the work found me, and I couldn't be happier. I feel very blessed.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm going to ask you kind of a free association type of question, because I truly do believe that there are some gifts that come out of being the partner of a sex addict. And so I'm going to ask you, in your work with partners, when a partner truly heals, tell us a little bit about the gifts, kind of the hope, strength, and recovery that comes from being the partner of a sex addict.
Well, that's a great question. I probably could talk all day, so I'll condense that one. But, you know, I completely agree with you, Carol, that there is truly some real merit to introspecting on the level that you have to introspect on once you become a partner of someone who's been unfaithful to you. And the truth is that, you know, along with that betrayal trauma comes a whole lot of other things. You know, if there were things left untied or undone from the past, that comes up with all this too. And it becomes the filter through which we experience our betrayal story. So partners are often dealing with a tremendous amount of pain. And the truth is, in the West here, I think we don't allow a lot of time for suffering. You know, but we really do need to have some space where we can feel deep, painful feelings. I used to work with somebody who is from Indonesia. She was a therapist at a private practice I was in Indiana. And she said to me one day, you know, Hope, I don't think that you guys here in the West know how to suffer. And I said, whatever do you mean? And she said, you know, think about when people have funerals in other countries where they are weeping over the bodies or they are laying across the... there's just a really special and dramatic ability that some other folks have to allow their pain to surface and be felt and shared with others. And what's very difficult about sex addiction is it becomes a really isolating problem. And due to reputation or due to what others might think, a lot of partners are suffering alone, which is why they need to be connected with groups and connected with themselves in a really deep way. And when they do that, I find tremendous healing is possible. I just recently ran an intensive at our office where I had a partner I've worked with for the past couple years come in and share her story. And it was so beautiful as she shared about the ways in which she has better boundaries with her coworkers and the ways in which she has refreshed herself as a mother or as a person of faith. And the truth is, well, I'm not sure any partners I work with would want to go through what they've been through again, they would say that there's been gifts from that journey. And the truth is some of those gifts can be could possibly not have been obtained otherwise. And so I give a lot of honor to partners who are struggling with the pain, but the truth is hope is on the other side. And when they can use their pain energy to really dig in and see what's there for them to discover, there can be a lot of joy to be reaped afterward.
Yes, I agree with you, and actually that's what built that sense of resiliency. And clearly, when you're on the other side, when you've been devastated and wounded and you didn't think things were ever going to get better, and then you found your own personal strength, you created your own boundaries, you set limits with your partners, with people you work with your kids, whatever, you recognize that, hey, this unfortunate situation has made you stronger and it's made you more resilient. And your friend that talked about suffering, I totally get that. Now, did I hear you say when you lived in Indiana?
I did. For a short stint, I lived near the Amish folks, but I wasn't Amish.
Okay. Well, you know that I am the only CC in Indianapolis, which is a huge metropolis, and it's really very, very sad that there aren't more certified sexual addictions therapists here in our own community. So, I mean, I know working with Ken Adams, you're working with one of the best. He has a phenomenal reputation. I think I told you we've had him on the show a couple of times, and I'm always recommending his books. His Enmeshment with Mothers has been so important to so many addicts that were themselves wounded, and that's what happened. They kind of reenacted the trauma from their childhood. So I admire the fact that you get to work with some of the greats, and I love the fact that you came from Indiana.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a fun time living there. You know, if I could add one more thing that I forgot to mention to this
Please.
Really important topic of healing. Thanks. It's that, you know, not only is there personal growth and healing that can really transcend the pain, but in some cases, you know, where recovery really takes place, these marriages can be restored to a place that they may have never imagined. And so that's not always the story, as you know, but for the partners who really heal and for the addicts who really get into recovery, there can be a beautiful new thing between them and for their families as well. And so, you know, I just love this work because I wouldn't be able to continue on if I didn't see that hope there and I didn't see that blossoming happen on a regular basis. But the truth is it's an unknown territory sometimes for a partner until it gets to a point where he or she can really make some clear decisions about what they're going to do in the relationship.
Well, absolutely. And it sounds like you treat partners individually and in group. Do you ever do couples work, and do you ever do family therapy?
We do at our office, but we actually do that separately. And the reason for that is because sex addiction is a problem of lots of secrets. And if I were to work with the addict and the partner and see them both together, I might be in the position of having to hold a secret, which would cause me to feel out of line with the partner. And so in some cases, like where there are not other sex addiction trained folks, like is in your area, that becomes, mm-hmm. you know, what you have to do. And so you set boundaries around that, as you were explaining. But in our office, we are really fortunate to have several associates. So we actually have a sex addiction trained family therapist who does the couples work. And that allows me to stay out of that piece so I can support the partner individually.
Very, very fortunate. Wow. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because then it's easier to maintain those boundaries and it's easier to honor the individual issues that people have. You know, I know that typically when I work with couples, there is a no secrets policy because I could never hold a secret and be in collusion with the other person, but yet that means that they may be afraid to really talk about some of the issues because they know there's that no secret policy.
Absolutely. And, you know, another complication, too, that comes up with couples therapy is that oftentimes, you know, partners really want to try repairing the relationship, and so do the addicts. And that makes good sense, but it's not always time to start on the repair work, especially before the foundation hasn't been totally torn down. It's important if there's been deceitful behavior or omissions of truth, that stuff gets clarified and cleared up so that the partner knows what he or she is dealing with before they start repairing. They don't want to have any surprises down the road, right? And so, you know, sometimes when a couple wants to jump into couples work, we ask them to sit a little longer with that particular need and attend to it as soon as we can, but make sure some of these other frameworks have been addressed.
Absolutely. So what makes complex partner treatment, you know, that model, what makes that different from, for instance, Barbara's program?
Well, right. So there's a similarity in the sense that it would be considered partner sensitive. This really is a model that was built on top of all the good work that's already out there. So as you know, Barbara Steffens and Marcia Means released their book in 2009, Your Sexually Addicted Spouse, and this is where we really discovered that about 70% of the partners who are married or partnered with sex addicts experience tried and true trauma symptoms, like legitimate trauma, and the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorders, in fact. So what we know is that, you know, there's a real need to heal from trauma. And so I developed this model not because I thought I was the first one to talk about the trauma, but I did sense that in our field we really needed a way in which to organize the reaction layers of a partner to that trauma. And so, you know, just to review again, it's not just the core of the betrayal or the cheating itself, it's the lies on top of that which create a collapsed reality. And then it's the disrepaired relationships that kind of sprawl out from there. there and ultimately living in an altered life state as a result for some time, and maybe even finding themselves stumbling into some self-betrayal territory. And that stuff can heal. We just have to peel it back layer by layer to help the partner get to a place where she feels that she is able to address the wounds and not have to contribute to them feeling compounded.
That makes total sense. So as we begin to wrap up, is there anything you want to tell our listening audience? Because I have to admit, as you can imagine, we have as many partners listening as sex addicts. They want help. They're diligent at doing the reading and listening to the radio show. And so is there anything you would add?
Well, thanks for that opportunity. And I guess what I would say is that there is hope for this stuff. For partners particularly, one of the best things they can do is receive support. They can go in, have a place where somebody can answer all of their questions and help them understand, what is sex addiction? How do I detect healthy recovery? What do I need to do to heal? And then get themselves on that healing path. And the truth is that this trauma does not disappear along with the relationship. And so if some partners feel as if they could just leave the relationship and start new, I promise that they will have the baggage or the weight of what happened present itself in the next relationship or the next phase of life.
And unfortunately, we know that to be true in any marital situation, that if you don't truly heal and you prematurely end something without doing the healing, you will attract the same exact issue. It may be different. You know, instead of a sex addict, it may be an alcoholic and a cocaine addict, or it may be somebody with a sexual addiction instead of prostitutes. It may be incest. I mean, history repeats itself until you've healed the wounds.
That can be the case. And the other issue that I feel most concerned about for partners is that when they live with this trauma, they end up burying it alive if they don't address it when it's in their face. And so do I have time for a quick story?
Oh, you sure do.
Okay. I just want to tell the story of my little old lady neighbor, because she just gave me such a great gift from being who she was. She was a very small little woman with really deep-set wrinkles, and she always wore a winter hat even when it was sweltering outside. And she lived alone in the apartment next to mine, and she always wore a ring on every finger, and each of these rings was a little snake. On top of her kind of odd appearance was her hilarious, language. Once in a while, she would throw out all these swear words, and because she had trouble hearing, it was usually pretty loud and jarring. But I came to love her, and every time I would go over to visit her, we would watch a movie or play a game or whatever we would do, she would turn the conversation toward her late husband, who used to beat her. And it was a tragic story as I came to know it. I mean, he was very, very, very abusive to her. But you know what? She had never told anybody about it. And she was, for the first time,
she kept that locked inside of her.
Yep. For the first time, she had a pair of listening ears. You could tell that this woman had burned quite a few bridges, too, over the years. She became somewhat embittered and difficult to be with. And the truth is, she buried her pain, but she didn't bury it dead. She buried it alive. And so what I've discovered is that, you know, no matter how old we are, it's still with us. And so that's my concern for partners who don't use their pain energy to really investigate the trauma. They do need to take a look at the stuff. And so when they do, there's healing immediately. There can be healing. And so support's really important for that, and connecting with other folks who understand your experience is really important to that as well.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. And boy, when you think that partners have enough trauma as it is, to bury it alive would be an injustice that they deal with for the rest of their lives. They deserve to actually find the healing and then, of course, find the relationship they want, whether it be with their addict, who hopefully is in recovery too, or with somebody else, whatever they need, but they have to do the healing first.
That's right. That's right. And so that's where complex partner trauma comes in, just a tool to use for any therapist out there who wants to help a partner peel back the layers. All they have to do is insert certain techniques or tactics they've been using therapeutically and insert them into the layers to assist the partner in really revisioning for him or herself and getting back to a place that feels safe and secure and free once again.
So this is the second time you've used the word revisioning. And what do you mean when you say revisioning for our listening audience?
Well, I think you put it really nicely earlier when you said, listen, I did not pick this situation, okay? These are the cards I was dealt. I didn't ask mm-hmm. for this. I don't want any part in this. But the truth is, it happened, right? And nobody can heal their pain but the partner, him or herself. And so when I say revisioning, I'm talking about let's get back to the basics. What kind of relationship do you want? What kind of way in which do you want to live your life? What are the things that are important to you that are going missing due to all the stress and difficulty in your relationship? And so we really help them cast a vision. Once again, what kind of friendships do you want? What kind of work schedule do you want? What type of mother or father do you want to be? How do you want your marriage to feel? And while they can't make all of these changes happen, because a lot of times there's other folks involved who have their own responsibility in doing their part, partners can decide whether or not a relationship is working for them or a certain healing tactic is working for them or not based on what their vision for their self is.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. So one more time, for anybody who wants to find out about complex partner trauma, and we do have a lot of therapists that listen to the show, they can go to your website and actually place it as a favorite, because right now it's being worked on, but by next week they should be able to use it and find out more about these tools on www.HopeRayTherapy.com, and that's HopeRayTherapy.com. And then to learn more about sex addiction treatment, they can visit www.sexualhealth-addiction.com. And then we need to be looking for your book that hopefully will be coming out in the fall, and it just sounds absolutely wonderful. And that book is going to be called Impact Zone, and it's going to be a book for partners that gives them information, but more importantly, exercises. It's somewhat of a workbook to help heal the wounds of sexual addiction when you're the partner experiencing that firsthand.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. Well, Hope Ray, I wish you the best. I want to know when this new book comes out. We're going to talk to you more about that. There aren't enough resources for partners, so I really, really appreciate it. And knowing that your book's going to be an important book to read, if you were going to make a couple of recommendations to our partners out there that want to read good books, you're obviously an expert, what two books would you recommend?
Ooh, well, that puts me on the spot. But I think one of the first ones that comes to my mind is Your Sexually Addicted Spouse by Dr. Barbara Steffens and Marsha Means. It's from 2009, and it's an excellent read for partners who are looking to understand a little bit more about why they may be feeling the way they do. Deborah Corley and Jennifer Schneider have come up with a few books, a couple of which are my favorites, Surviving Disclosure and Disclosing Secrets. Those can be great preparatory tools for getting ready for a disclosure. And can I throw one more in there, please?
Absolutely.
I'm not following the rules, but of course there's too many to count. my good friend Wendy Conquest recently published in the last couple of years Letters to a Sex Addict, which is a phenomenal work of just a compilation of letters of the pain and the trauma of being a partner to a sex addict. And so it's a really compassionate book for both partners and addicts, and I think it's a great read.
Well, and I love that book, and we've actually had Wendy on the show too, and it really does normalize for partners how they've been feeling when they get to read other letters from other partners and their feelings as well. So You've just recommended three great books. We can't wait for The Impact Zone, and you promise us you'll contact us when that book is published.
Oh, thank you so much, Carol. I just appreciate you having me on the show, and thanks for your support for the book. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, this is all about educating from a psychological standpoint and an educational standpoint, addicts and their partners. You know, the number one thing that I do when I work with addicts is help them to develop empathy and all those skills they need to make the partner feel safe. And yet what I know to be true is partners have to figure that out themselves. So you've been a real godsend in helping them to do that tonight. Thanks so much, Hope.
Thanks, Carol. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
You're welcome, and talk to you too. All right. So that was Hope Ray, and obviously she has a lot of information as to how to make sense of such a difficult situation. We thank her so much. Can't wait for the book to come out. Like I said, you know, I'm part of that listserv where we have 1,600 CSATs that dialogue about issues every day. And Hope had gotten on the listserv and shared some really important information. And I said, hey, Hope, I want you on the show. So we have to end for today. I so appreciate you listening, and we'll catch you back here next week. I'm not sure if we're going to have a listener who's going to be talking about his situation, or Covenant Eyes, who's going to be talking about a new ebook they have for singles. It isn't out yet, and that's what we're trying to discuss. And would be the best time for them to come on the show. But next week, either way, we've got another informative show. So as I end every week, I will say, you know, there's only going to be one of you at all times. If you're an addict listening to the show, I hope that we shared a little bit more about the complex trauma that partners feel. And if you're a partner, we're glad to support you, too, in your endeavors to get healthy and to heal. So there'll only be one of you at all times. Fearlessly have the courage to be yourself and do what it takes to be healthy. We'll catch you next week. Talk to you soon.